everyone. Welcome back or welcome to this month's Multi-Housing News Top Marketers podcast. I am so excited to be joined by the Vice President of Marketing and Public Relations at The Breeding Company, Christine Gustafson. Christine has been with The Breeding Company since 2020 and holds more than 20 years of executive and business experience under her belt. Some of her many skills include social media, lead generation, marketing for both the prospect and the resident, and so much more. Christine, I am so excited to have you here with me today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. 20 years is so generous. Thank you so much. I will not call the doctor to get more Botox. Thank you. No, this is such an honor. Thank you so much.
Of course. Okay, let's jump right in. I want to know a bit about you, your background. You do have 20 years of experience. Let's not underplay it. Tell me about how you got to where you are today.
Well, I won't go back all the way to like that one night when, you know, my mom and my dad, I won't go back to that day. Okay. But, you know, I went to college for something that I'm not really doing, or what you say, you know, your parents say you're not really doing. So I went to college for psychology, in my master's program, getting ready to finish it out, get my licenses, a traumatic experience happened. And I really, number one, have to pay homage to any social worker who can go through college, go through these experiences and be a social worker. So thank you, therapist out there in the world today, including my own. But I just really fell into property management and working in the marketing realm. And I think it's kind of this maybe predestined, you know, route that I got into marketing. But it's kind of been a series of events throughout my life. And I think taking risks have allowed me to have that 20 years of experience. And I think, if I, you know, have to gloat on myself being well-rounded in the marketing realm. So, I mean, but I've taken the chances that I've gone outside. It's not just being on site. I was in leasing. I was on site, you know, in the field, but doing, you know, I was in commercial printing, and that's a big deal when it comes to marketing for brochures and, you know, collateral, that sort of thing. And then, you know, being a part of an agency with that commercial printing. So, you know, I think having some of that wide, you know, looking back, I'm pretty happy with the choices I've made now looking back.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned some of those choices that you made, but can you go a little bit more in depth? What are some of those decisions that, looking back on, you're grateful to have made?
I think, you know, again, I was young, out of college, I was on site. And again, I think I have to look back and say, wow, I think part of this is just meant to be experiences, because you meet people in the industry and they become well-known and powerful, and they made an impression on me. And so they've become mentors and just people that when I grow up, that's who I want to be. But, you know, it's funny because I work for a company now that I used to consult with and work with and, you know, do leasing trainings for when I got into marketing and to try to assist and give back. And now I'm working for that company. And it was always the company I wanted to work for. It's kind of like the boy that you've had the crush on for a long time. I had the crush on The Breeding Company for so many years. It's like kind of like a stalker thing. But, sure, you know, now I'm here. Yeah.
What about that background in psychology? I know that was your major in college. I know that's going to inform a big part of our conversation. So how does that background, that degree, sort of lend itself to where you are now?
You know, so psychology, I think, you know, I went to school for psychology. I think it's therapy to kind of say, you know, why is my family so screwed up? You know, sorry, mom. No, but, you know, you go to school, you think you're going to get into something. And then when just my life, you know, decided to go in another way, my mom actually worked in multifamily. And so she kind of fell into it as well, but she worked on site. But she also worked on the marketing side as well. And she spearheaded starting up a senior publication. And so when I was in college, she reached out to me and she said, hey, I'm, you know, part of this team to start this, you know, senior publication. And, you know, what do I need to do? And I was like, oh, and, you know, here I am in psychology, but there's an element to that. You know, what the eye, you know, the senior eye, the rods and the cones, why can't we see at night? What colors do we see? What font size? So I was able to kind of help her and give her some weird nerdy things that she could take back. And, you know, back in the old days when wheels were square, they started a publication. So when I got out of college and I didn't know what I was going to do and I was a little bit lost, I thought, you know what, I'll just fall into property management. And so, you know, I think it's such a great industry because if you have no experience, you can get into it and you can learn, you know, if you want to. So I started my career on a Class C. And, you know, you learn techniques. At that time, I was young. And so you learn how to overcome it. And to your point, I think I use psychology every day, whether I know it or not. But, and I think everybody does, but that's what today's discussion's about, to kind of like pull back the layers. And, you know, I call it Shrekking it. You know, we're going to Shrek this. And so that you're going to go, oh my gosh, I'm doing these really cool things. Maybe I'm into psychology.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to Shrek it. Let's start at the beginning. I don't know what the beginning is for you. Where does that begin? Where does the marketing begin for the beginning of, let's say, I don't know, a resident or a prospect journey? And how do you play psychology into that?
Gotcha. So I think that's a two-parter. Number one, for me, psychology began, again, with the opportunity from somebody who's very inspirational to me and very well known in our industry, Virginia Love. She is, I mean, everybody knows who Virginia Love is, but she came in like wildfire into the company that we were working in together. And she was just bold and bright and fun. And I remember, you know, being young, 20 something, going, how do I become you? And she said, just learn, just get into it. So she was casual, but she was great. And the things that she was having us do and implement on site, I wanted to know more of the why. And so number one, I think, you know, when you look at that, I think it's having a good person, but on site, there truly is, you know, property management is about people. Yes, it's about homes. We are providing homes, but in reality, it's all four walls, it's windows, it's a ceiling. So it's how do you get somebody to be attracted to this set of four walls versus this set of four walls? And so it's a lot of psychological, how do you, you know, flirt? I mean, that's dating. It's a psychology, it's a sociology. So, I learned those things, or I started to implement those things. And I did some really random things, you know, being on site, some marketing techniques. But it's really, how do you maybe throw somebody off kilter? You know, people are looking at homes, maybe they're looking at three or four of them. And how do you make yours stand out? You know, those sorts of elements.
I love the analogy that you just made, that the psychology of getting somebody to sign a lease is almost like the psychology of dating somebody. I mean, that's pretty crazy. Can you walk me through that a little bit? What does that mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to think about it. If anybody's ever been in a relationship or on a date, you have to remember that you get a certain amount of time to essentially woo somebody into saying you should live here. Because again, it is four walls, it's a ceiling, it's a pool, it's a playground, it's whatever amenities you have, but they're going to look at it and go, okay, but it's really the experience that that person is having with you, that human interaction that they're having with you, of whether you can flirt with them. Not really, because I think that there's like HR violations in there, but you know, you have fun with it. But how do you woo them? How do you talk to them? What's their hot buttons and their sticking points? And so you have to really know your audience, or try to figure out your audience. And so there's a recipe to that, and there's psychology to it.
And I would even think, you know, there's like the recipe behind it, but there's also the photos of a website and the photos of somebody that they put on, you know, their profile, absolutely, whatever that may be.
Absolutely. Like how, you know, it's not about sexy. I use the word sexy, but you know, when you are marketing your community, you know, the first thing really is a website. Let's pretend your website is the match.com alternative of how do you get people to live in your community? So what does it look like? You know, and I even teach my team, when it comes to something on a brochure, the features and the amenities, you know, you can put pool, you can put, right, you know, mail room, but how, you know, how sexy is that, you know? And so how are you going to woo that person? And so you can be really stale and, you know, to the point, or you can kind of zhuzh it up a little bit and make somebody go, wow, I really want to get there. And I call that the appetizer to the buffet. You know, your marketing, that website, that collateral, that's your teaser, that's your hook. Like if fishing, you know, it's the appetizer. You want them to want more. You want them to reach out to you, you know, and even coming down to when you're communicating with a prospect, how do you communicate? And, you know, a lot of times when I'm analyzing a property, if like, say, occupancy's gone down, in the marketing world, there's something called the four P's: people, product, price, promotion. And anybody who's a marketer knows those four P's. That's an MBA standard class. But you run those four P's, but sometimes it comes down to people. And sometimes people, they're nervous daters, and they just, I call it throw up everything. They go, and our apartment has blah, 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 and it doesn't leave anybody to ask a question. So in our company, we have taught our on-site teams to be succinct and short, and, you know, sexy and a little elusive in a way, but end every email to a prospect with a question so that it evokes a response. Because when you ask a question, if you don't answer, you know, like your mom's going to kind of be upset with you because you didn't like answer somebody's question.
It's very much like setting up somebody's dream girl.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
Earlier, you mentioned the recipe. Can we get more into that? What does that recipe look like? We'll go through it from start to finish. But really, for the breeding company and for you, what does this recipe mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of elements to what I call the recipe. I think when you're looking at marketing and you look at this, what I call the recipe in the prospect experience, you know, in the very beginning, a prospect comes into your community and there are different types of personalities. There's a shy personality, there's a bold personality. But no matter what, when you're in property management, the people that are working there and they're leasing and they're keeping the community going, it's really their home, right? Right. And so leasing specialists have to learn how to take control of the conversation. So it's just like when you meet somebody, who's going to be alpha and who's going to not be alpha. And so I teach my teams, you know, you get up, you get to the door, don't let them get to the desk because then they have control of you. And then you have the conversation and there's a height adjustment and, you know, there's those kind of elements. But I also teach the teams that there are 3 to 4 very specific questions you should ask every single prospect. And it's a little bit of a game, but again, it's human behavior. You know, so I ask things, you know, when are you looking to move? What size apartment? What's your budget? And I don't say, what are you looking to pay? I say, what's your budget? And this is fun for me as a psychologist because I look at two people and people are funny. And I'll give you an analogy. Have you ever gone to the store and you need a red sweater for an event, right? And you go to the store and the salesperson comes up to you and says, can I help you with anything? You will either go, yes, I'm looking for a red sweater. Or if you don't feel like you want to be bothered that day, you'll say, no, I'm just perusing, but you're lying. You are lying to the salesperson that you need this red sweater. That's just like property management. So when you ask somebody what their budget is, they will either tell you or they won't. They play with you and they're like, oh, I don't have a budget, you know, because they're, you know, have so much money. And that's when you tell them, you know, give them a crazy number outside of your budget, outside of the market budget, but make them go either, yeah, no, I can totally afford that, or oh my gosh, no, I can't afford that. And then when you drill in, it makes them talk more. And so that is right there is what is an element of what I call this leasing recipe. Because it's a interaction in human behavior and you're forcing yourself to become alpha and you take the power away from the prospect so that you can guide them appropriately through that prospect experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So the recipe is almost like this rule book, perhaps, or like a set of instructions that somebody would have to follow to get to the appropriate outcome, which would, I assume in this case, be getting a resident to sign or getting them to extend their lease.
Right. Yes. And I think, you know, one of the things about being a marketer is, you know, I have friends in the marketing industry and multifamily, but one of the things that we don't a lot of times do, and maybe because if there's not that psychological background is, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, marketing's just, you know, coloring inside the lines and what color goes with what and, you know, whatever. And honestly, when times are tough in the economy, what's the first job to go is the marketing department, but it should be the one that stays. Because marketing is so influential. I mean, think about things that are in your home or think about why you drive the car you do or, you know, whatever you have. It's because marketing, you know, made you say, I want to buy this. I want to have this. I want to be in this place. So, you know, this recipe is kind of a rule book, but nobody's ever pulled back the layers in marketing, especially in multifamily, and said, let me tell you the reason why. Let me tell you why you do what you do. And I think when we tell our teams the why, this recipe, they become more empowered and they're like, oh, I get it now. And they know how to work with that prospect. They know how to work with the resident and they, you know, can give them these experiences.
So we started off with that sort of like first step. The resident comes in, you tell your leasing agent, you know, beat them to the door. These are the questions that you need to ask. Can you tell me a little bit more about the why there? And then also, two-parter again, I keep doing this to you. Also, then what's the next step? What's the next phase chapter of the recipe?
So when they, you know, you ask those questions, like I said, those 3 to 4 questions. And really that budget question is what I tell my people. It's kind of like Wizard of Oz. It's like whether the prospect can kind of come in the gate or, you know, you could refer them out. But, you know, if you're not running this recipe, what you find on site, and if you go in and you analyze properties, is it could be chaotic. They're just showing, they're doing quantity over quality. They're, you know, not giving the prospect that experience. And you don't want it to be like turnstile. You know, a resident renting an apartment is biggest probably expense of their entire, you know, year or of their income. So you want to make it valuable to them. So anyway, so these, you know, 3 or 4 questions, and I teach my people, if the budget question fits and the property, you know, works or the community works for them, that's kind of like your gate opening up and you're like, come sit down, let's have a further conversation. And you can ask more of those questions about their pets and, you know, their loves and their likes and all those things for a home. But it kind of is like, you know, going from the first date, checking somebody out to going, okay, I like you, let's go to a second date, you know, and then sitting down with them, getting a little more comfortable with them. And hopefully, you know, you have a community where you can show something or continue that experience in one way or another to let the process, you know, to woo the prospect into saying, yeah, I want to live here.
So now you've wooed them. They're in the leasing office or, you know, wherever they are. Or you and I are on a first date and I'm like, hey, you know, our interests, we're both cat people. Look at that. After this, then what? Do I go see the apartment or, you know, am I walking out and scheduling a tour the next day? Like, what's the next step and what parts of psychology do you incorporate into that next step?
Good question. So this is where psychology really comes into play, because one of the things that you may not know is that humans are just like animals. We are in the animal kingdom. Some of us are not as hairy as other animals. Some of us are. But yeah, not me. But you know, we are a part of the animal kingdom. And so we are, you know, sensitive to these, you know, sensory experiences. And so you got to remember, you know, maybe you're somebody who loves music or you love the smell of something, or, you know, you love to feel something nice, but we are tactile animals. And this is where it gets really fun for me as a nerd in marketing to teach my communities that when they can get to even a vacant, it doesn't matter. It's all about that 5 sensory experience for the prospect. And I tell my teams, you want your prospect to touch. You want to invite them to open cabinets, open the refrigerator, open the microwave, open the oven. I don't even care if it's the electrical closet, open it up. But the more you get a prospect touching things and you're talking to them and you're selling these benefits of the community, they start to do exactly what you are doing to me right now, which is shaking your head up and down. It's a natural human response. So when you start to buy in, or you're listening, or you're in it and you're in the moment, you start to shake your head up and down. And it's fun to teach people to look at that as a response, a behavioral response to what you're doing with them. And so I always tell my teams, when you start to see your prospects shaking their head up and down in approval of what you're showing them and talking to them about, when it comes to that moment of, okay, would you like to live here, and start to do that closing, it makes it so hard for him to shake their head the other way in a no fashion and say no. And so it's, again, it's just peeling back those layers and showing teams, you know, have you noticed this? Have you noticed that they shake their head up and down? Have you ever made them touch? Do they get more excited about the apartment when they touch it? Do you put a plug in there to make it smell good? I mean, even in vacants, I used to hide a radio sometimes in a room and there'd be music, and, you know, people would ask, is there surround sound in here? And I said, no, it's just the radio on. I'm trying to get you in the mood, you know? And so it's just these fun elements. You know, the thing about leasing apartments, no matter the class, no matter the location, is that you have to have fun with your prospects. We need it. We all need it as a society. So using these sensory experiences, these psychological elements to make people have fun, I'm telling you, your closing ratios will go so much better.
So interesting. So you've talked about, we're all animals basically, and we have these 5 senses that we want to see fulfilled, I guess, or that, you know, gain interest in whatever we're doing, looking at, experiencing. How else do you incorporate these five senses into that experience? Mm. I know you mentioned obviously the radio, perhaps some sort of smell or something, but what do you want residents to touch and where else does that experience take place?
So it starts actually at the front door. You know, this is where curb appeal is such an important thing because that's sight. So when you come to a community, you know, are there weeds in the curbs? Is there trash? I mean, you have to remember, it's like going to a fancy restaurant. When you go to a fancy restaurant, do you want to see plates on the table from the people before? Do you want to see crumbs on the floor? No. So just like at an apartment, again, it doesn't even matter the class. It's the most high dollar expenditure that most of us have. So they want to see something good. So clean and, you know, nice line of sight. So that's, you know, sight. Something that I see management companies doing, and we are included in this, is we partner with scent companies that have, you know, scent machines, and we put them in every single one of our clubhouses. And so even for our C-class communities, they have this scent, and it is hysterical that people will walk in and be the, you know, the scent you choose. We've had prospects, we've had vendors, we've had, you know, owners come in and go, oh my gosh, it smells fancy in here. And it's a very similar scent to a very high-end hotel chain that we all know and love that I won't talk about. But it's called like Fitzcarlton's, kind of something like that. Okay, something like that. But, you know, so, you know, you go to any of these high-end hotels and, you know, it smells good. It looks good. It feels good. It's not sticky. And so we invoke that too. So you've got that. And the other thing too, is that if you're a company that has several communities, do the same scent in every community at that first experience when the prospect or anybody walks in the door, and people start to get this same, they go, oh my gosh, I smelled that before. I know that. And what you start to do is through your, you know, sensory, your olfactory senses, is you start to create a brand and you're like, oh, Breeden smells like that. It smells good. It looks good. It feels good. So, you know, those are some of the things that we do. And then, like I said, a lot of that tactile thing, you know, those are your main ones. And then, you know, playing the radio in an office or a clubhouse, nothing like 90s rap, you know, don't give me any of that, but play something nice, piano music. I love me some Bridgerton, you know, put some Bridgerton album on there. People love that. It soothes them. If you've ever been to a doctor's office, they're doing the same things. They have a light radio on to bring blood pressure down. They're painting in light green, you know, so. We never pay attention to it. We're not trained to, you know, if your degree is in chemical engineering, you're not being taught these things.
Right. Okay. We've hit all of them except for, I have to ask, obviously you're not telling prospects to lick the walls.
Correct.
Do we incorporate taste buds? Is that a possibility?
I mean, if you're like, you know, I miss the Otis Spunkmeyer days. And if anybody out there knows, you know, we all used to have the oven and the cookies and the eat the cookie dough. So sometimes people do have treats out there, but really you can kind of, you know, nose and mouth, you know, if you ever have cold, you know, you mm-hmm. breathe through your mouth. So honestly, you can work both of those senses through a plug-in or, you know, something that smells like food or a cookie. That can go either way.
Now we've done all the things. We've got the radio playing. It smells beautiful. Mm-hmm. We have residents opening and closing cabinets, doing the head bob. Like you said, mm-hmm. I've been doing this whole time. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you close? What does the recipe book say for that? And what's the psychology there? Mm.
So the recipe book is kind of like a wet noodle on a cabinet, right? You can do whatever you want. And this is your personality based when it comes to closing. And what I always tell people and what, you know, Virginia Love told me was, it doesn't matter how you close, you just got to close. And what you got to remember is that I think sometimes people become robotic in property management and with that leasing technique, and that they think, oh, here's the introduction, here's the showing, here's the closing. But these little elements that you have beforehand are truly those closing techniques. So even the head bob in itself becomes this closing technique. You just have to bring it home. It's kind of like a fireworks display. You ever gone to 4th of July fireworks and it's like, boom, boom, you know, here's the fireworks. And then at the end, it's the boom, 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 boom.
Right.
That's the finale, right? And mm-hmm. so doing the actual closing is your finale for your whole presentation. And if you don't do it, I don't know why you went on the tour with this prospect. But it can be, do you want to live here? It can be, listen, you better live here, you know?
Right.
Or, you know, and I was fun. It was, please don't leave me. I love you. Please stay here. You know, that kind of thing. You're having a good time. It can be if you have multiple homes to show, which do you like? Which do you prefer?
But it doesn't matter what it is. It's just that you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And that is the recipe in itself, is just, it's almost just checking it off the box. Like, did I close? Did I ask for them to live here today? Now, the next part of this whole recipe is the follow-up. This mm-hmm. is where it's really important. And I have to thank Mr. Jimmy Fallon himself, you know, the late night guy. Okay. He brought back some funny things, and he does them on a show, which is hysterical. But, you know, most of the time when you're looking at an apartment, if you ever have, you know, you'll get a call back, what, 24, 48 hours later. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but I've made my decision in 24, 48 hours. So I don't have my teams follow up in 24, 48 hours. I have them follow up 15, 20 minutes later after mm-hmm. the person has left. Maybe it's a text message that says, I miss you. You were so fun. Come live here. You know, what are you doing? Bring me a burger. Let's sign an application. Right. You know, something. I don't care. But the follow-up too is a big deal, because if you show them that you are interested in them, it's kind of like a date. Again, like, they called you, like, do you want to go on another date? Do you want to live here? You want to make it official? You want me to put a ring on it? Like, do you want to, you know, right. kind of thing. So the follow-up is really important. And then the other thing I have our teams do is we now send handwritten notes to our prospects, because even though you followed up with them 15, 20 minutes later, the other crazy thing post-COVID in our society is that we love getting mail that's not a bill or a piece of junk. So to get a card that says, oh my gosh, it was so fun to see you. Would you like, you know, I hope you live here. I hope you make this choice. That is just an emotional tug for human behavior.
Yeah. It's so interesting you said that, because even for my apartment that I live in now, I sent in the application as I was touring it. I didn't even leave the building. I was like, this is the one, we have to do it. And so, I don't know, I've just never thought about how quickly that decision really happens. But I mean, I've lived it.
Yeah. And they, so what they did was they messed with your brain. I mean, really, you should go to your office and go, oh my gosh, you messed with my brain. How did you do that? But, you know, really what this conversation is about is, again, the why we do what we do. It's not just leasing. It's not just marketing. It's why it all works together. And, but I think, again, I feel so lucky because I have that background to understand color psychology and human behavior and what sort of things will make people respond. But I think that I hope I'm doing justice to the marketing realm and multifamily, and that they're going, yeah, Christine. And they're telling, you know, they're saying, yeah, you're telling everybody but what we've been trying to say. But it's just fun to kind of pull it back and go, here's why we do what we do in our industry. And it's scientific.
It's also so interesting that it's not what you said, where it's this three-parter. You walk in, there's the tour, there's the close. The psychology of it is really, here's 1,000 little moments to get inside of the experience and then shape the outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to kind of bring it back to something we all probably hopefully know, which is dating, right? So you think of those just little experiences of why you were wooed to who you're wooed to. And it's not just the date itself. Maybe it's a nuance. Maybe it's opening a door, you know, this or that or the other. Well, it's these behavioral things. And it can be, you know, overt, or it can be very underlying. But it is. It's all about these little moments that make that person go, oh, wow, okay. You know, I want to live here. I want to be with this person, or whatever it may be.
Obviously, the psychology behind all this is very impressive. I mean, the psychology behind dating is one whole thing, but behind marketing too, obviously so powerful. I mean, can influence an entire resident experience, which is just insane. So you've been implementing this throughout your career. What are some of the results that you've seen through this type of sort of psychology-driven marketing?
I've seen a couple of things. I think recently my most favorite is, we have a Class A apartment community. It's in a rural market, essentially, rural. But it's funny because it's in a college town, and it's an upscale college town. So you kind of have these two competing demographics there that you're looking at. But, you know, nobody builds apartment communities in areas going, nobody's going to live here. I mean, you build for a reason, right? There's a whole reason. There's numbers behind it. But anyways, this particular apartment community, the manager reached out. She had just started touring, but she was having a hard time converting those, you know, the interest of leads into responses, and then getting responses back from the prospect. And she was having a hard time starting tours. And I call that the tornado funnel, you know, because you got to start the churn, right? Mm-hmm. And then it gets better and better. So anyways, I ran the analysis, the famous 4P analysis. But one of the things I asked her in that 4P analysis is, and I've kind of alluded to it and talked about it before, was, what are you saying to your prospects? And so, you know, prospect would maybe, you know, through an ILS or the website, give a, you know, hi, what, do you have any apartments available? A quick question, you know, it's kind of like, hi, are you available? And she admittedly was just giving some verbal diarrhea in the email. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was everything and anything, and it was long and it was, you know, horrendous. And it was just too much. I mean, she was just giving it all away. Okay. And again, I put that back to dating. Like, if you ever have that date that says like, I'm an Aquarius and I love cats and I, you know, right. do that. And you're just like, okay, that's it. I don't need to know anything else about you. So, you know, I told her, I said, let's pull it back. Let's make the responses 2-3 sentences and end it with a question. And I don't care what question you ask, but end it with a question. And she said, okay. And I said, the other thing you're going to do is, do you know the craziest sub demographic in renting? And she said, what? I said, pet parents. It's not even human parents. It's pet parents. And I said, you're going to do a response when you find out that a prospect has a pet. The response is going to go back to the pet itself, not to the human person. And so we, you know, did our little wordsmithing on it and, you know, made it cute. And so all of a sudden, this manager, in employing these techniques, started to get responses quickly from email responses. She started to get people coming in for tour. And then what I had never seen in my career to date was she started getting 5-star reviews on Google. The property's not even built yet. She's getting 5-star reviews. She was getting cumbersome feedback. And to give a 5-star review and cumbersome feedback is in itself incredible, because most people don't take time to say great things. And so it became this crazy to me. Just, I started to watch her technique very carefully, because that's what really truly started her tornado and her churn, was the way she changed her communication and the way she presented herself. It was funny. It was personable. But it started to attract people. And so now they're, you know, of course, stabilized now, but that was a fun, for me, project to work on, and where the psychology came into play.
If somebody sent an email to my dog, whose name is Archie, mm-hmm. I would never not respond, because mm-hmm. Archie is a talkative boy. Mm-hmm. He has things to say. I would respond immediately.
Exactly. So, you know, for us, and anybody can take this, and you're welcome. You know, it was, if they didn't even say the dog's or cat's name, it was just, you know, hi dog, hi cat, please read this to your human. And so it was, yeah. And then, you know, I would say like, please bring your human with you. I want you to come. And, you know, we have dog bowls at the front of every one of our offices. We have treats. We partner with a great, you know, vendor in the market. But, you know, and so we would say like, we want you to come. We want you to sniff. We want you to smell. We want you to go to the dog park. And so, but it's also a great way for the human to bring the dog, and then we can kind of see what kind of dog it is. You know, I mean, you're a pet parent, I'm a pet parent, and I'm a human parent too. But like, I totally vibe off of when somebody says my dog's name and they have no idea who I am. They know I'm a dog, and that's what matters.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've talked about sort of how this psychology of marketing into multifamily helps in the outside world. You know, you're getting these reviews and everything, you're getting potentially more conversions. How does it help your internal team going through a process like this?
That's great. Again, I think it goes back to them understanding the why. You know, even as a 5-year-old, if you've met any 5-year-old ever, they will ask you why about everything, right? Why? Instinctively, we want to know the why. And a lot of times in business, it's outside of our industry too. If we say, just do this, you know, you'll ask the question, why? You may not get it, but you know, if somebody's not communicating with you properly, but you want to know why you're doing what you're doing. And so by stepping back at my company, at our company, and seeing that our on-site teams weren't understanding the importance of what they're doing and why they're doing what they're doing and what it all means, and you know, how to get somebody to make a choice in a home. That's a huge choice. You know, that was a big deal. So we stopped and we said, let's reset. And I want to explain to you the why. And you start to see teams now say, oh my gosh, I get it. And they feel empowered mm-hmm. and they know what they're doing and they know what it's for. And they can actually kind of, they've stopped and said, here, I can communicate better, or I can market better on site, or do things that are funny and personable. And So it's increased employee retention, team member retention in our company. It's helped with retention for residents. They're having more fun at mm-hmm. their communities as they should. And so it just by just continuing to explain the why, which I'm very big about, they, you know, it's kind of coming around for everyone.
So I guess sum things up here. The psychology of marketing in multifamily. It's about the little things mm-hmm. like it is in dating. Mm-hmm. And it's about understanding reasons behind them.
It is. Well, maybe. Yes, maybe. I mean, for today's podcast, sure. It is. Yeah. Right. For today's podcast, it is. I mean, there are so many things in psychology. And if you've gone through any classes, I mean, you have to think about, like I talked to you about brands. Like, why do you drink, you know, Coke over Pepsi? Why do you get, you know, a jean brand over another? But there's an effect out there called the Coca-Cola effect. And, you know, why did Coca-Cola do the branding they do? Where do they do it? How do they do it? And why? And so for another day, you know, sure. Okay, I'm telling myself next I'll be month. Back here. Yeah. You know, we'll talk about that. But for today, it is all about those little things. But there is so much more to marketing and the psychology of it. And so it's crazy, but it's fun to talk about because we never really have in this industry really kind of opened it up and said, here's how we do it and why we do it. So it's really fun to do.
So this is just the first step. I'm going to have you back. It's just, we're setting ourselves up for podcast on podcast.
Yeah. I'm being typical total me. And I'm just like, I'm pushing my way in. I'm like, this is a multi-level thing, people. There's so much to talk about, but I hope that people can feel empowered. And even if they're listening to this and they're at an on-site community, they're going to go, oh my gosh, now I know why my marketer or my boss told me to do this. Or, you know, as a marketer, you're like, oh, I didn't think of that. I can do this. I mean, we all learn from each other, but it is, it's all about, you know, human interaction and behaviors and responses and, you know, all of those things that I didn't get too detailed in yeah. psychology, but yeah. you know, there's the reason why.
Well, perfect. Thank you so much, Christine, for all of this really invaluable insight. I appreciate it so much. And to all of our listeners, we're going to get set up for a whole series here. So buckle in.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. Thank you.
And to all of our listeners, Multi-Housing News wants to invite you to join the MHN Executive Council. Each month, leading multifamily experts weigh in on different informative and trending topics, and we would love to have your insights featured. Also, be sure to check us out on social media. Thanks so much for tuning in to this month's Top Marketers Podcast. Looking forward to seeing you soon.